So with that, we're going to jump into our final week of this series that is When Leaving is Good. When Leaving is Good. And so it's just a three-week series. We've been talking about spirit. And so with that, I mean, we already heard a sermon within that, and it's true. And we're just going to tag along with that because that's essentially what we're talking about is becoming. Becoming More is where we're going to lean into this. And the whole title of this series, When Leaving is Good, this comes out of Jesus saying to his disciples, I am going to leave and this will be good for you that I leave. Which seems kind of odd, Jesus saying, I'm going to leave and it's good for you that I leave because one, I'm sending spirit that you will be empowered and you will do even greater things than these, than what you've seen me do. Which can feel a little wonky because a lot of us, we're like, no, we need Jesus here. And boy, then we'd be better. And Jesus is like, I'm going to go because there's more to come. And it's going to happen when I leave. And it's good because Spirit's going to fill and be in you. And there will be more that comes out of that. So we're going to lean into that and we're going to have some fun. And so Taylor read for us verses 1 through 27 of chapter 12. And we've got a lot of ground to cover with this letter to the Corinthian church. And so that's just kicking us off. But we have more to go. But starting there, at the beginning of that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, essentially Paul says this. This is how he begins, which is great. My friends, you asked me about spiritual gifts. So Paul, the writer here, he's writing to the church. He begins with responding to this church that has apparently said to him, hey, we've got some questions about gifts, about spiritual gifts. So he's responding to their questions, which shows that they have a desire to grow. They have a desire to become. And that's what it is. They're not asking him, how do we do stuff? But how do we become more? And they're asking this question to him. And so he begins with this. And so I just want to paraphrase. So we have this question about what it is. My friends, you asked me about spiritual gifts. I want you to remember that before you became followers of the Lord, you were led in all the wrong ways by idols that can't even talk. I would paraphrase it like this. Next slide. There are different kinds. And we go, so now there are all these different gifts, but one Lord. And so next slide, I would paraphrase it this. Memory of the past is a catapult for growing new. He tells them the memory of your past, the way you used to live, isn't to live in shame and guilt and to drown in that. Don't wallow in that. It's actually an opportunity for you to remember where you came from, to remember how you used to be. And that's an opportunity for growth. So he says, let your memories help you catapult into a new person. Into the new person that God is breathing into you. And so what it is then is when you lived by the voice of ego and deception, the outcome was being off course. Essentially, when you lived in pride and arrogance and selfishness, that was the problem, and that takes you off course. So here's the thing, though. There's a distinction here. The problem isn't your shadow, if you will. Because we all make mistakes. That's not the problem. The invitation is to learn from and grow so as not to repeat the broken. Are you with me? Okay. Great. Wonderful. It's fine. So here's the thing. It's that the ego, arrogance, pride, selfishness, this is the problem. This is called the separate self. When you isolate yourself and live solo, and then it's me, that's actually where the thing goes sideways. And then we are deceived to believe that someone or some other group is the problem. When you live isolated, when you live selfishly, we think, well, the problem's in this world, the problem's in my community, it's someone else or it's that group of people. And then you run into, and we do not have the time to get into it, but then you get into what is known as scapegoating. Scapegoat mechanism. We'll talk about it next Good Friday for a while. How about that? So then we'll do that. It's scapegoating or the myth of redemptive violence. If we could just get rid of that person or those people, then all would be well. And so that's what ends up happening. So that's a bigger conversation. Okay, next slide. The text then tells us there are a variety of gifts and a variety of ways to utilize those gifts, but there is only one source, God, the divine. Living in, with, and through the source, through God, is the goal of life, not private perfection. To be in union, to be in relationship with the divine, with God, that's the goal. To live in that rhythm, that flow of God, that's the goal. Not private perfection, that's not all that interesting. So then, next slide. Whatever gifts are given, they are given for the common good. Whatever is given to an individual is experienced and felt by the entire body. Woo, come on. So then, the gifts and talents that you have, but these spiritual gifts that are breathed into you, the whole body feels that, needs that, and celebrates that. So it's not for you, it's for us. And that's where this whole thing is heading. So now we need to get into spiritual gifts. The word in the Greek is pneumatikos. Go ahead and say pneumatikos. So this is in the Greek language. Belonging to spirit, one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God pertaining to the wind or breath, which is just all sorts of good time with mystery. But this is what's happening here is this belongs here. Now the root to that is the beginning is pneuma. Go ahead and say pneuma. Pneuma means the breath of God. The breath of God. This is to say whatever life, energy, passion, inspiration that has been breathed into you is meant to be experienced, celebrated, and connected to the entire body. Whatever it is that gives you life, whatever that inspires you, whatever passion, motivation that you have, it should be felt and experienced and celebrated by the entire body. By everyone. They should feel that and go, yes. You living that out should be that's just a good time for everybody. Yes. Now, this is all tied together. We began this series at Pentecost. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, this event that we would say is Pentecost, it was not an experience by an individual. And this is important, but by a diverse community of people. That's what takes place. It wasn't one person experienced something and it goes. It was a diverse community of people that were brought together, a mishmash, a mashup of people brought together and synced together through spirit. So it says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they, all these people, were together in one place. Many people, one place. Many people, one purpose. That's what spirit does. It takes a whole group of people, and all of a sudden you have this one mission, one purpose, one passion, one synchedness, which I don't know if it's a word, but it is now. So within that, we have some gifts. So these are just going to be some. This is not a whole list, but this is kind of the common one of what we would know as spiritual gifts, and we'll unpack them. Teaching, knowledge, which counsel, craftsmanship, come on, apostleship, which is more a starter. You got to start things, got to be at the front end of things. This is the kind of person. Leadership, discernment, faith, or trust. Prophecy, which is truth-telling. If you're thinking, oh, that's someone predicts the future, no. This is far more than that, way more than that. And prophecy, even in the Hebrew scriptures, maybe 1.5%, maybe 2% of what the prophets did was predict the coming of the Messiah. Maybe 2%, maybe. What it is truth-telling. They said, here's the world we're living in, and then they can spot what needs to be said to the powers that be. And they named it, and they called it out and said, come back to where you are supposed to be. So prophecy, pastoring, which is more the shepherd, caregiver type of pastoring. Wisdom, giving, evangelism, prayer, or exhortation, it's called. Administration, praise God for that gift. Mercy, and it's because I do not have it in the least bit. But you all, mercy, serving, which is helps that. Don't put me up front. Don't give me a microphone. But man, I would absolutely love to just do stuff behind the scenes. Hospitality. Now, these are just some things that are going on. They're beautiful. Great. It's a start. It's a common list. And this takes a village of very diverse people because a single person, Mary, maybe carries a couple. Maybe a few at best of a gift. So what you need is you need a whole community of people because here's the deal. There is no such thing as a well-rounded person. So someone, I just want to be well-rounded. I want to cover the whole thing. There's no such thing as a well-rounded person, but there can be a well-rounded community. an organization, if you will. But a church, you can be well-rounded. But for that to happen, we need all of the gifts. We need you. We've got to all be put together for this to function well. And again, when we isolate ourselves, then you have just one thing or a couple things, and we need all the things. So we need all the people. So what we need is a wide range of diverse people. So that's age, culture, ethnicity, gifts, skills, economics, a plethora of perspective is crucial. We need everybody at the table, and we want to get all of the perspectives. It's really, really important. And this is where this text gets really interesting, and I love it. Because the metaphor that Paul uses, the whole human body, and he talks about the parts, here's the thing. In first century Rome, in which Paul is writing to these churches, and Corinth is a Roman government kind of run community. Corinth is. And so he writes to them and he uses the metaphor of the body. In the first century Rome, they used this metaphor all the time. The Roman government, the leaders of Rome, used this metaphor all the time of the body. They called it the body politic. And what they did, though, is they used this metaphor to say there are many parts of the body and some are more important than others. There are parts that are lesser, less significant, smaller. In fact, some parts are in the way and they are a problem. This is how Rome pitched the metaphor of the body. There are some lesser in status. So the empire used this metaphor of the body to create and sustain a divide within the society. The leaders of the global military industrial complex of the day were saying that some people are important and valuable and others are less. And some of them could be even a problem. We know nothing of this today. Right? You know, the whole idea of creating and maintaining a divide based on status of income, ethnicity, perceived power. But if you will, try and imagine what this would be like, if you can, with me. Was the sarcasm thick enough on that? Okay. Now, Paul, that's what's so brilliant. Paul grabs this metaphor. Paul grabs it and says that everyone is crucial. Everyone, if you think the smaller part is insignificant, then we actually are giving that part more honor. The smaller parts, we're going to honor more because every single person is valued and needed. This is countercultural and subversive to the context of his day, and I love it. Poke the bear. Come on, Paul. Gee, why did he get in trouble so often? Right? Yeah. This is a fresh word in the face of an oppressive and divided society. I think it's more needed today than ever before. Are you with me? Yeah. So what I started last week, and if you didn't hear it, then whoops. I'm going to just pick up and we're going to run with it some more. So it is said that humanity has life breathed into us, okay? Life is breathed into us with spirit. So the first thing a doctor does when a baby is born is clear it so it can take its first breath or acknowledge the divine. Now, the last thing someone does before they die is they take their last breath, or they're no longer able to acknowledge the divine. Right? Spirit. So that's what's going on here in the world. Oh, it's just stunning, yes? Now, in the Hebrew, the word spirit is the word ruach. Go ahead and say ruach. Now, here's the beauty. Ruach is in the feminine, the Hebrew word. It's in the feminine. And so if humans were created as male and female in the image of God, having the breath of life breathed into us, then to think long thoughts about God in both feminine and masculine terms is fundamentally biblical. Okay? So just an example. We'll do an example. Isaiah, the prophet, says this in chapter 42, 13. The divine, speaking through the prophet, the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. So, oh, apparently this, in this place, this thing, the divine is like this, like a mighty man. Next verse. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and I pant. Now, the divine is like a mom. Are you with me? Yeah. Why? Because now it's like giving birth. Because deep down, you know this. You know this. Sometimes we need the divine to be our father. And sometimes we need the divine to be our mother. Right? Yep. Mother God is desperately needed. And the scripture invites us to the full spectrum of the experience. Understanding this then, and this is important, when we grasp this, get a hold of this, it gives us a better seeing, like in this text. Now let's go to one of the Gospels, Luke. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12, that is the 12 disciples, apostles, were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Yikes. And Jesus is like, yeah, hang out with me. All right, beautiful. Now, Mary, called Magdalene, the disciples said, we call her Mary Mags. Yeah, that's how he goes. Okay, Mary Mags, that's how the posse calls her, from whom seven demons had come out. Whoa. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. That's a whole other message. Whoa. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. These women bankrolled Jesus' ministry. So when we say things like, oh, Jesus, he does all these amazing things, and oh, Jesus is so great, there is a human practical element. You know how he got around? You know where he got food? You know where his lodging came from? Women bankrolled it. Out of their own means, which is to say, apparently, they have the gift of giving. These women say, we'll take care of it. Send us the bill. So then, if you were to say, well, you know, does Jesus ignore this and say, oh, appreciate it, thanks for offering, but you're a woman, so no. Nope. Do you think that Jesus' public ministry was unimportant? No, very important, right? So the writer of this, say it's Luke that we're saying, he probably shouldn't have put these women in the story, or someone should edit it out, otherwise someone might get the wrong idea. Or someone might get the right idea. Right? Yeah. That women, oh, we need them, of course. If without it, forget it. When churches, and I'll just go there, when churches do not have women in leadership roles, they are only exercising half of the image of God, which is really sad, diminutive, and debilitating to the body of Christ. The biblical narrative runs consistent in a movement towards empowering all people, highlighting often what you'll see in the scriptures, the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. Why? Because the powers, the superpowers of the day, were often oppressing these very people. And so the scriptures say, not the way the Spirit rolls. So we're going to highlight and say, you honor them and take care of them. We need all parts of the body, which is people, is what it's getting at. And we need people to do what only each person can do. We need you. If you say, Wally, how would you say it? I would say it like this. Next slide. You being you is a phenomenon this world has never experienced, and this world needs to experience you and all your you-ness. You being you makes us being us possible. Come on. That's just a good time right there. I said that to my wife. I'm like, I'm having fun. She goes, but I know. So that is so. But here's the thing. Us in our usness, well, that can change everything. Spirit breathed into you. When you take that which is breathed into you and you say, I offer all my you-ness that God has breathed into me to the us, well, then that usness can change this community and the world. That's what is needed more than ever. Another picture. How many of you enjoy music? Oh my goodness, fantastic. Now, that's great. Okay, It's only because it makes your ears happy, correct? No, of course not, because that song, that particular lyrical hook, that rhythm, that beat, that tempo, there's something more that gets tapping in your soul. Your very being comes undone, or maybe is re-put back together with that song, right? So in other words, from something your ears gifted you, you heard and your whole body danced. And right now my wife is sweating going, he might dance. Dear heavens, no. Come on. But that, you see the gift here. It's this. Next slide. One part exercising its gift, the whole body celebrates. Are you with me? It's just in this. You capture this and we all go, yes. We hear the beat. You exercising your gifts is good news for the entire community. The difference then between skills, and the spiritual gift then is you experience it. You have the echo of it in your soul. That's the difference with these gifts. And every part of your being, you experience these gifts. So another picture. You go to a house for dinner. Now you step into this house for dinner and it's immaculate. Place is laid out, the table setting, they've got the napkin rings. Like, what is that? And they have this thing and it's laid out. Couldn't be more beautiful, and the food is excellent. Are you with me? But then the environment feels stiff. The air is a little stale. And all of a sudden you feel like this pressure, this weight in your shoulders, like, I think I have to perform. I have to act. Something feels off. You say things like, oh, my body, like, what's going on here? There just isn't a flow or a rhythm to this thing. Then you step into another house for another dinner. It's not as exciting. It's not as there are no napkin rings in this one. And yet you come in and you go, this night was transcendent. There was a spirit about that environment. There was just something that was so incredible. Whether there was fine china or paper plates is not the point. The point is spirit. You have just walked into the gift of hospitality. Well, these people, this person, somehow they have some gift. Yeah, they do. Gift, breathed in by spirit, the gift of hospitality. Now, here is a fun one. The Greek word for hospitality in the New Testament is philoxenia. Go ahead and say philoxenia. No, it is not a medication for acne. Philoxenia is the Greek word for hospitality. But here's the thing. It's two words put together. Philos means affection, and xenia means stranger or foreigner. And so the gift of hospitality is an affection towards the stranger or the foreigner or the outsider. Are you with me? So this is to welcome, when you have this gift, to create space for others, especially for the outsider, for the stranger among us. And you say, oh, come on in. There is this thing within you that says we have to create space and welcome this person. Now watch this in the book of Romans, Paul writing to the church in Rome. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice, that is exercise, hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Here's the thing that's so interesting about hospitality. We're all instructed, commanded to practice, to exercise hospitality. Yes, it's just some have a gift of it. But we're actually, as followers of Jesus, called to practice hospitality. Some have a gift and you just go, that's when we go, please, you throw the party. We'll be there and we'll hand out hugs, but you do it because there's something about you in this space, in this place, and there's a spirit, great, but we're all going to be there and we're going to offer hospitality because that's the point. Now then, Let's start winding down. Chapter 14, we began in chapter 12. Chapter 14 is Paul's bookend on this fantastic rant. And it gets into like kind of the details and the implications. But what we're going to do is going to cap today with chapter 13 because it's the heart of this rant of Paul's. It's the engine of it, pumping blood to the rest of the body. But it's often, you may have heard chapter 13 read as a part of weddings. But really, it's Paul writing to a church community and says, this is how we as the church are to live and be. So, about the community. So we're going to read through the whole chapter 13 together. So great. And so it begins this way. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. So he begins this rant and talks about all these gifts and says, now let's talk about this way. It's the most excellent way to live. If I speak in human or angelic languages, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Is there a drumstick back here? Yeah, there's, well, we're close anyways. So now, I love you all. I love you. Got you. My. I just said the best words. That poem right there would sell millions. And we just washed it away. Are we tracking? Yeah. You can say all you want. You can talk in however you want. But if there is not love with that gift, forget about it. Okay, next. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Side note to cable news that it is not about ratings, it's not about a left-right agenda and fear-mongering. Okay, back on point. Love, where are we at? Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, is knowledge? That is not accurate. It will pass away. For we know in part, Paul says, and prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When, Paul says, I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. That is, as Jonathan said, becoming. As I become more and more, as I'm known fully, I'm becoming more and more. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Need it all. The engine to all of this, the heartbeat, is love. It's not manipulation. It's not coercion. It's not building an institution or keeping an institution moving. This is all about the flourishing of humanity within community through spirit. This is about the flourishing of humanity within community through spirit. And you, each of you here, has a role to play. You have a part to play. You have gifts to offer. You are a gift. You are loved and needed. This community needs you. Your God-breathed brilliance is embraced, welcomed, you belong, and we need you to be you. Because what is next for this community can only happen with us becoming more of us, and we can't become us without you. Yeah, so our body needs, though here's the thing, to exercise our gifts in community. They can grow. They can get stronger when we exercise these gifts. Love is the heart pumping blood to the body. So here's the thing, Love Walker, it's an exercise routine. Are you with me? To love Walker well, to love our neighbor, it's an exercise routine. We're like, I gotta exercise today. Yeah. Love Walker is an exercise routine. So here's the thing. Love, next slide. Love is not determined. Ooh, is that not in there? Okay, I didn't put it up there. I'll read it to you then. Love is not determined by the worthiness of the object. Love is determined by the gift, by the giver of the love. Love is not determined by the worthiness of the object. Love is determined by the giver of the love. So we choose love. Love has chosen us. And we choose love. Not because, well, are they worthy? Does their status fit within the... Paul says we play a different game. We don't play by those rules. God loves us and has gifted us his love. So we in turn say, you are love. And we choose love then. First and foremost, we see the divine spark in each person and say, we love you. We exercise that. I would love to say a word of prayer and then just for us to reflect in song, to understand where there is love, where we are invited to exercise these gifts. And I want to say, like, if you're like, there are all sorts of things, and we can talk about it, and it's wonderful. There are all sorts of spiritual gifts tests that you can take. Lots of them that we can dig into, that we can figure out. But here's the thing. To do it by yourself, not the point. And it's not even the best thing to do. We do this in community because here's the thing. We can take spiritual gifts tests online and there are things we can do and hand out papers and we will do that and we should do that. Wonderful. But you know what the great thing is to do? Pull the people around you that know you best. And as you take in, you go, so what do you think? Because as you take a spiritual gifts test and you're like, oh wow, apparently I have the gift of helps. And everyone goes, no kidding. Like, let them tell you, because I'm sure they'll be able to let you know, do you know that you have the gift of hospitality? Do you know that you have the gift of teaching? Do you know that people seek you out for counsel? Of course, because you have the gift of knowledge. Of course. So just gather in community, share life, and we'll tell one another, you are a gift. And let me tell you some of your gifts. And let's bring those gifts together because then we can be a gift to the wider community. Yeah. Gracious God, you are good. You love us. You gifted your love to us. You gifted us your very presence. And you keep giving us more of you. That we had have open hearts and open minds to receive, to say yes to your love. Your embrace, that we would say yes, Jesus, yes to Christ. We trust. Do the more that I would follow, and I know I will become more in and through you. So God, may we have open hearts now. We'll continue to speak to us now as we reflect, as we just continue to absorb and sit with your great love. And may the power of your love build, grow more and more. And we give you the honor and the glory through your body that is the church. We pray all of this in Christ. Amen.